First item of business before we start the meeting is a public hearing on a additional appropriation from the Lowit Fund. Beth, you want to talk about what this is all about?
We did not have anything appropriated for 2019 for Lowit. This is the money that we've been using for the bridge project. We've got a couple more invoices that we need to pay, and we didn't have other funds to cover it from 2018 money for 2019. So we are going to appropriate the total balance to the total of $133,000. So when we pay the final invoices as they come in, they won't be that much. And then anything that would be left over, for our life budget, either for connecting funds or t-shirts, doing crossings or saving or some single project.
Right. Okay. And in fact, there could be, we may do another appropriation. This is the balance that's in it now, but we're waiting to get, CSX is supposed to be giving the county another $100,000. We should get half of that, right? So we may have maybe an additional $50,000 going in there later. So, anyone in the chambers have anything to say about that? Or good, bad, or indifferent?
And where is this money go after you appropriate it?
It'll be used to pay the bills, the final bills on the 15th Street Bridge, and then it'll be used for paving or community crossing match, probably. Yeah, we have to use it for paving. That's why the state gave it to us in the first, or distributed it to us. Okay? Anything else? I will adjourn that public hearing, and I will call to order the January 28, 2019 meeting of the Common Council of the City of Washington. I would ask first for a moment of silence for our veterans, military personnel. Thank you. Mr. President, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Beth, could we have a roll call, please?
Here. 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 Here.
Here.
Here.
Here. Okay, everyone is here, so we have a quorum. First item of business are the minutes of the January 14th joint executive session between the Common Council and the Board of Public Works and the January 14th regular meeting of the Common Council. Are there any corrections or additions to those? I would entertain a motion then to be approved.
So moved.
A motion by Councilman Sidebottom.
Second.
Second by Councilman Dahl. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Minutes are approved as presented. You also had the claims in your packet. Any questions on those? Not, I would entertain a motion to refer those to the Board of Public Works.
Motion
by Councilman Chambers, second by Councilman Brown. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, any comments from the public on anything for the good of the order? Okay, hearing none. We have no resolutions tonight. We do have three ordinances to do something with. The first is final reading of ordinance number 1-2019. Could I have a motion to read that, please?
So moved by title only.
Okay, motion by Councilman Sidebottom, second by Councilman Chambers. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried.
Ordinance number 1-2019, and the ordinance for additional appropriations from the Lowit Fund.
Item we just had discussion out of here, public hearing on, or is there any further discussion or questions on it? I have a motion then to approve it if you so wish.
So moved.
A motion by Councilman Sidebottom, a second by Councilwoman Decker. Roll call vote, please.
Aye.
Aye.
Councilman Hazen?
Aye.
Councilman
Dahl? Aye.
Councilwoman Decker?
Aye.
Councilman
Aye.
Councilman
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. That ordinance is approved. Spend the money in the account now. What's that? Oh, that's right. We gotta get their approval first. Okay. Okay, introduce ordinance number 2-2019. Could I have a motion to read that, please?
So moved.
Motion by Councilman Dahl.
Second.
By Councilwoman Decker. All in favor, say aye, please.
Aye.
Motion carried. Kim?
Ordinance number 2-2019, an ordinance dedicating a portion of Tower Drive. Whereas the common council of the city of Washington, Indiana, does ordain as follows. Section 1, that the street in the city of Washington known as Tower Drive from Southwest 3rd Street to Southwest 5th Street and further described in Exhibit A shall be accepted as a city street. Section 2, that the existence of the foregoing street as a city street is hereby ratified and in all respects confirmed, and if not previously dedicated to the public, the aforementioned street is hereby dedicated to the public. Section 3, the Washington Code of Ordinances is hereby amended in conformity with the terms of this ordinance. The city maps should heretofore include this city street, adopted by the common council of the city of Washington, Davis County, Indiana, this blank day of blank 2019.
Excuse me, this street was constructed by the Gresses as part of the Campbell Hill subdivision down here. Both city engineer Ed and street commissioner Brian have inspected the street. We don't see a problem with it, right? I'm speaking a little bit for you guys, but yeah. So they've asked that it be given to the city accept it.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Is it concrete?
Yes, it is.
And when I had no issues at all.
And it's.
How was that? Was that a commercial property before you got a stormwater or how was that before? On that stormwater report, you know, we had somebody, was it owned by, you know, how was it?
City owned the property.
The city owned the property, that's all.
It's called the Gresses and kept the water tower, sorry.
Well, I mean, like right now, on the butt town is before you do this.
Yeah. Okay. Any other questions? Yes.
To answer your question further, the old subdivision was built under a different spec on that road. The new road has been much more robust space under
it. Thank you. Any other questions? That ordinance will be up for consideration next meeting. A related ordinance is 3-2019. Could I have a motion to have that read?
Mm-hmm.
Motion by Councilman Chambers and second by Councilman Sidebottom. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carried. Tim?
Ordinance 3-2019, an ordinance dedicating a portion of Southwest 5th Street. Whereas the Common Council of the City of Washington, Indiana does ordain as follows. Section 1, that the street in the city of Washington known as Southwest 5th Street from Tower Drive to the north end of the subdivision and further described in Exhibit A shall be accepted as a city street. Section 2, that the existence of the foregoing street as a city street is hereby ratified and in all respects confirmed and is not previously dedicated to the public, the aforementioned street is hereby dedicated to the public. Section 3 of the Washington Code of Ordinances is hereby amended in conformity with the terms of this ordinance and city maps should heretofore include this city street. Adopted by the Common Council of the City of Washington, Davies County, Indiana, this blank day of blank, 2019.
And that is basically where it says it to the north end of the subdivision, basically ties into the previous existing Southwest 5th Street there. So 5th Street runs all the way through now. Any questions on that?
Did it change the maps? Is that a fairly simple procedure when we get these new streets?
I think they're always on the same map.
Are they?
The plan.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
All of these types of streets already have. See, maps like this have a plat.
Okay.
The plat is already on there.
needs to be changed, really.
Okay. And that will be up for adoption at our next meeting. Okay, the last item was added today, actually, and we don't have any documents for it. But as you may or may not know, we have been talking with the county, how long now? A year at least, about combined dispatch, pluses and minuses, and Alan, at my request, has been quite involved with that. Todd and Trent have attended most of the meetings. I've attended a lot of them. But, oh my, several months ago, Alan and I both kept telling them, so you guys figure out what it's going to cost. Alan says, I'm not going to come to the council and ask them to participate in this because we don't know what it's going to cost. And so we've been asked through the county to engage somebody to do a financial analysis and see what it would cost. Not that it's necessarily, the purpose is not necessarily to save a lot of money. I mean, one of the big purposes is to reduce response time. But I think, and I don't want to speak for Alan, but I think we both agreed that until you got all the facts, it's hard to make decisions. So is that a fair statement?
Right, yeah.
The county has talked with Umbaum Associates, and they have offered, they've done this for a lot of other counties around. They're going to do an analysis, look at costs, look at funding, and said that they would do this, and it would cost not over $25,000, so the county has asked if we would split the cost of that. And that's kind of where we're at. If you are interested in doing that, we would be on the hook for about $12,500. But in return, I think we would get a good analysis of here's what the county spends now, we know what we spend, and here's, in their experience, what they've seen other counties go together and what they might have to spend for how many dispatchers they need, how much they might need to spend on equipment, that type of thing.
What budget category would that come out of?
This would come out, I would suggest it come out of our edit fund.
I mean, we spent a lot of time just meeting and meeting and meeting and meeting, and I really think that if we really even want to consider doing a combined dispatch, this is a necessary evil to the beginning of the real talks, I believe. I mean, if you don't have any way to know what the budget's going to be, even in a yes, even though it's like, you know, well, what's the future going to be? And then where are those funding going to come from? You know, how much is going to be from 911? How much from the city? How much from the county? How do we split that cost? I mean, that's what this study will do. So, I mean, I think that, you know, the combined dispatch will definitely would reduce issues that we do have at the current time of transferring calls. We have made, they did make a change where, you know, county is dispatching the fire and ambulance directly without transferring those over to the city police, but there still are some issues with the way that they transfer 911 calls, because all cell phone calls go to the county, and then if it's in the city, then, you know, dispatching those doesn't become an issue, and I think that's where a combined dispatch would make it safer for everyone, not only the responders, but also for the public, so I think it's worth a look to me.
So if you do say, have like, we do go with a combined, how would that work as far as the employees and such? Would that be their total responsibility, or would we share in that cost?
We would share in the cost. I mean, but
it would still
the
be
total cost.
But that would be on their side, county side.
I mean, that really hasn't made a decision yet, but it appears that it would be a county employee. I mean, the way that the people that have been in that meeting, it would be a county function, county employee. But, I mean, it's always, everybody's in agreement that, you know, we're not going to combine this and then lay a bunch of people off. We're going to take with whatever dispatcher we have and start the process. Now, over time, if we decide that we don't need people and, you know, someone leaves, then we may not replace them. But I think that's the agreement that we would keep everybody. Is that the way you guys think that through?
Yeah, nobody will lose the job. He'll be wherever he's kind of came up with a number, and that number's not set in stone, but I'll have an opportunity to join
us. Physically, where would it be located? In the sheriff's department?
There's been lots of discussion of where that's been, and there's been, I'd say that's been more part of the contentious part of the discussions of where it's going to be, but right now they have found a place in the sheriff's department that they are looking at renovating to make this a central dispatch. Not in the dispatch area that it currently is. It's in a different location within the security center. But, you know, this study may tell us something different. I don't know.
So in this analysis, will it show us what we're costing us at this point and what it will be costing us annually? Is that?
Yeah.
So until you have a study, you don't really have the numbers to make a decision.
Right. So we've been having a lot of meetings without having really anything to go by. I think that if we have this, then we actually have a starting point to say, you know, here's the discussions. And, you know, even if it costs us the exact same amount, you know, it's worth doing, I think. You know,
yeah. Well, I mean, you've resolved the other issues, and it's down to, I mean, you think it can happen, you're in favor of it, you...
I think it can happen. Okay. I mean, from my standpoint, and I can't speak with the chiefs, but I think it can happen.
I think we're closer than we've ever been for it to happen, and we made some concessions. One of the concessions we made was location.
Right.
When we initially approached this, I still have reservations, but I'm willing to, you know, bend a little bit on things. We were adamant about not being in either location, police department, sheriff's department, because of the patrol issue. We look at it. We want to save as much money as we can, so having a third location or it isn't really cost effective. You know, we would have to go outside of there. We'd have to have another building. We'd have to have, you know, a whole different setup. So we made some concessions on some things, but I think we're definitely closer than we've ever been. Even in the 2 years, I think we're finally getting down to the nuts and bolts of what did it cost to learn it. And so we came a long way just in from that, so...
So at this point, would you be confident to say that if the finances come out to our liking, that it's a go?
I would. And one of the reasons is, you know, on our end of it, and we have some great dispatchers, but sometimes they're up there by themselves. And if you have a night like we did with the storm, you know, the snow the other night, and you're sitting by yourself, you're swamped. I mean, you're going to just be absolutely swamped. One of the things this would do is there would always be 3 to 4 dispatchers on at a time to help out versus sometimes with us on the weekends or when vacations and stuff take place, you only have that one sole person sitting there. This would help alleviate never being a one person. So it actually, in the long run, you know, gives you that extra coverage even for us, even though they would be dispatching the county and the city. We still have more dispatch coverage than we would otherwise.
Okay, the other question, just so I understand what we're talking about. So when they dispatch, they don't have to come through the police station then to dis. They will take that all upon themselves, right?
Right. Call comes in, if it's in the city, I'll dispatch it to the city officer. If a call comes in, it's for the county, I'll dispatch it to a county officer. We've kind of talked about things like that, and, you know, if there's 40 singers or whoever grabs the call, you'll dispatch it to the appropriate agency that it goes to. So far in all the conversations we've had, the conversation has been they're still going to dispatch utilities, they're still going to dispatch, you know, all of our normal, everyday things that we do currently, that's supposed to stay the same.
Okay, well, saying that though too, so what if it's not a 911 call? Would we still not need a dispatcher anyway? For
those of us,
we're
going to
dispatch everything.
So 4410 is going to go to them also?
Yes.
Now, we will have to have a clerical person that will stay at the police department, you know, like during the daytime. There will be somebody there to help do, you know, the clerical stuff of the police department. So we would keep one of our dispatchers and make them a clerical person, but I can't speak for chief. But I mean, we would keep one person at least, and maybe a part-time person to fill in.
Yeah, because our dispatchers do basically all the clerical work for the police officers, keep the files current, do the reports, all those kinds of things, so we would still need that function. So that's another reason we probably aren't going to...
They do all that. All of our crime statistics reports, they do all that for us, so we would definitely have to keep it.
Another reason we're probably not going to get rid of anybody, because, and I will presume the county would do the same thing. They may have to.
Right. Is the hardware already there, or are you going to have to add a bunch of hardware? I suppose that'll be one of the line items on this report.
Yeah, they got to add some.
They still have some old Motorola stuff.
Right. But they're in the process of updating a lot of their stuff, too, currently. And one of the things that they will update, and we've looked at, is their consoles. And we have two newer consoles for our VidPass. One of those could be moved. The second one, we kind of talked, and I think we decided to leave it in place in case something happens. We have like we did the tornado that time where their communication with them, we would have a backup place with dispatch from. We keep one of those consoles in place. The other one, put up with cost, up to price on cost. But there is some things that we would have to think
about. Well, you just answered my next question, was what are you going to do with your dispatch room?
We need a backup site.
Well, could you use that one board for training purposes?
They'd probably rather have it always, because they're going, all of our stuff is Kenwood, and they're moving to Kenwood now, so it would actually just kind of seamlessly go in my opinion, because since we're all moving to the Kenwood models anyway.
And the console is fairly expensive to purchase, so I mean, if we could save money there, that would help us with the startup cost. I mean, Kimball's a lot less expensive than the other brand, but.
And this current dispatch area they got now, they're moving it downstairs, so it's a secure, different area altogether where there's no, just dispatch.
Well, you don't have to answer inmate information and stuff like that.
So it would be a different area altogether in the part of the building.
So if it happens, if it doesn't happen here in the near future, is there a reason where it could be mandatory that we do it unwise?
I mean, there's been discussions. I mean, they have what's called a PFAB, which is an actual number. The county right now, the counties can only have two, but they had lots of discussions where they're going to limit it to one, but I don't, it's not been ever said, hey, it's got 5 years, you're going to have to do it, but, they've had talks about limit it to one per county, but I don't know if that would ever happen. I mean, there's not any mandate now.
So we do this. What is the upside for the county?
Well, they could also see some cost reductions because, I mean, I think the real savings you'll see over time is going to be your service contracts. See, they have a service contract on the software. They also have a service contract, but there's a lot more expensive than ours. But they don't hold them on the equipment. So if you're combining those, you're going to have one service contract, which will also reduce that cost. But they will also see a reduction in the cost of managing it because they're going to have help with us
with
paying the hardware.
I just don't want to do the study and then come back with this figure on the county and say, well, why are we?
I think part of this study will also be a discussion about how do you actually divide that cost. It's not a 50-50 cost share because, you got to go by what each department does, calls, that type of thing. So, it may end up being 50-50, but I mean, I'm going to say that they probably have more calls than us as a whole because they also get rollover calls from other counties. So if Posey County's 911 goes down, their 911 calls go to Davis County. I don't know but that's what happens. So when I was getting numbers about how many calls they were getting, sometimes that's significant. So, I mean, that's why they wouldn't actually have probably more calls than they have for the actual service within our county, but overall with what they get from overflow, they could.
I can tell you what would have a reason to want to do that.
Right.
And if this would go, then the county would have complete control. We would be out of
it. Well, that's a lot of discussion, too.
That's part of the other, one of the other big discussions.
I mean, you've probably seen they're doing a 911 board, and that is basically to talk about the 911 money that comes into the county. So on that board, there's been a discussion about who's on that board, but really that's not a function for us. If this dispatch comes together, and we had a discussion at the last meeting,
about how that makeup would be. I told them that there's no way that I could, in good conscience, not have this board have a person from the city council on it, or a mayor's appointment. The fire chief, police chief will be on it, but we need somebody that actually has the ability to talk about the money on that board. So the board will oversee it. The county will still control the budget, in a sense, but, you know, we're going to be contributing. But for us to be on that board would be the way us to still have control over a little bit of it.
What board are you referring to?
Well, it would be a combined dispatch board.
Or just the...
It could be the 911 board rolled into this, too. And that's probably some of the discussion that we'll have later on. But, I mean, you know, that's stuff that will have to be worked out after we decide if we're going to do it. You know, right now, everything's preliminary. But...
I would not even consider doing this if we weren't having representation on that board. And by representation, at least whoever the fire chief is at the time, the police chief is at the time, if we're not having, just, because that way when you have issues, you go and say, hey, this call was dispatched this way, and it worked out very well. You know, because right now, you only have that direct contact, where we can go in every day and say, hey, you know, this didn't work out well. So there was no, I wouldn't even, you know, think about it. You know, we just have to say so no matter what happens with our community and their dispatch for people in Washington, no county. So, and it's never been discussed that we wouldn't have a place on the board, but we also thought we were going to have a place on the 911 board. So, that's a whole different story.
But I think a lot of those conversations will happen after we see this number.
So, if you're in favor of that, then I would entertain a motion to authorize the city to pay half of the cost of this financial study, up not to exceed $12,500 from the city.
Has the county already made a similar resolution or determination?
They're talking about it, I think, at their meeting tomorrow, probably. This month, I know.
All
right. Is it on their agenda for tomorrow?
It'll be at the county council meeting.
Oh, so that'll be next month, couple of weeks. I think we need to
I make a motion we go forward, only provided the county decides to go forward.
Okay.
I'll second that.
All right. So we have a motion from Councilman Chambers and a second from Councilman Dahl to share in the cost of that financial study up to $12,500 provided the county does the same. Any further questions or discussions? All in favor of that, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Okay. We will proceed on that then. Thank you. Good discussion, good update on, or read on that thing. Thank you, Alan. Few announcements here. Prior to the next meeting, Debbie will be sending you, probably by police courier, copies of all the Department of the annual reports. So it'll give you time to look at them ahead of before the meeting, and then if you have any questions or any of the department heads, we'll have that at the next meeting. We have some of you know Larry Ingram, I think, that we've worked with on we and the Davis County Economic Development Corporation have worked with him on our Asian and Japanese contacts, both in the country as well as overseas. Larry is having conferred upon him the Order of the Rising Sun by the Japanese government. Just to let you know that it's a big honor. I mean, it's a big deal for the Japanese government to do that. I mean, the likes of Vice President Dick Cheney has received that order. He's receiving it for promoting international relations, and I've been invited to go to that in Indianapolis. It'll be conferred by the Japanese Consul General Ito. So it's a big deal. It's such, you might like to know that. I'm pretty excited about
that. Country Club a few years back. Yes. That position for General.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. The hearing on 1315 McCormick that you asked about has been rescheduled now for February 6th. It was delayed. There was some legal issues, not the least of which was trying to find next of kin who to notify about the thing. So that will be coming up on February 6th. And I got notice that NDOT is going to be undertaking a resurfacing project on 257 between Old 50 and the bypass this spring. So it doesn't really affect the council per se, but it will affect our citizens as far as inside the city limits and traffic and everything else. So just put my, well, I don't know. I don't hold their date. They're having a pre-construction meeting in a couple of weeks here on it, so I'm guessing it's probably going to start this spring. So we've been the street department's been doing an alley reclamation project. That's kind of something new. And Brian, you want to give us an update on that? What all's involved? And
sure. This body approved a few transfers for equipment last year. Just a reminder, one of which was a skid steer, and the other one was a power rake and conditional tool to make the four-way matted and compact the gravel down, and it will take out potholes. And we've done all but about five alleys with that machine, and all but about eight with gravel. Right now the gravel pile we've been getting out is frozen solid, the can't use it, so and Miller Pipe is digging in a couple of them, so we're just gonna wait until they're done before we completely finish. But we've done every alley from we started down on the very west end of town and just worked our way east. So we're in what we call Area 1 is north of the railroad track and east of Highway 57. We're in the last eight alleys in that area that are gravel. Most of them are pavement, but there's a few of them that are gravel. About 650 tons
of gravel, what you put down?
Yeah. And I called, actually, no, I didn't. Brant called a gentleman, his wife works there, on our behalf, and actually got the price per ton reduced for this project. So,
good.
A little bit of a break there.
Good.
So, buying so much at one time.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure some of you have seen it. It's pretty neat. I mean, just kind of basically loosens up the gravel and then gets it all leveled out and we top dress.
Take the grass out.
Takes the potholes out.
So even the ones you're graveling, you're kind of doing that first? Or?
Yeah, because
it looks really great. I'll commend you on that. It looks great.
Yeah.
And then you top dress every one of them with rock? So.
I've had a few people comment that they've done a really good job.
Yeah.
We started trying to grade them and say last one needs gravel and this one doesn't need gravel and we need gravel and said some of them should be
yeah.
Do it that way. Looking back at the we keep a log, a ledger on what we do every year, and in that ledger, each year it's got about maybe a half a page or a quarter of a page. Some years have 40 pages. 2019 is 9.5 pages. Rather than that, we call each area in that ledger is tracked on what was spent, how many tons, and what was spent on that particular area.
I think it's a nice project because in the way we did in the past, you got solid rock and you got a pothole and you just put some gravel in, eventually it all comes out too. So I'm
surprised.
Really?
No.
So you get that project about knocked out. So thanks. I think it's a nice process. Good job. And then another piece of good news. Kip and I attended a meeting this afternoon, and Kip, you want to tell us what we got there?
The foundation, the 25th reunion, had a $15,025 grant that you could write. Mayor and myself put a grant together for new playground equipment at South Park. Total project is $70,000 project, or they did fund $15,025 of the city check.
So we're thankful to them for that. Yeah, it was part of their 25th believe it or not, they've been in existence 25 years now, and they offered that to each community in the county.
I assume it'll be in the summer sometime?
Could be nice, because that equipment down there is in pretty bad shape. So. And it will include equipment for handicap accessibility, some playground equipment for them too, so that'll be nice.
So what are you going to do with other equipment that's there?
Turn it out. It's way outdated. I would not feel comfortable selling it to anybody that would use it.
Mike, do you have anything?
Oh, just one. Brian probably knows about this. The roundabout's got that one pothole in it. Can we wait for warmer weather to put some cone up? It's getting fairly deep out there. So.
Yeah, that was one of our community crossings projects that was approved, so we'll be getting 50% of cost of that from the state. So, yeah, that whole thing will be milled and repaved. So. Yeah. Okay, Sierra? Good? Tim, do you have anything?
No.
Alan?
I'm good.
Blake?
Sure.
David?
I don't have anything.
Scary.
No.
Oh, come on. Jeff, do you have anything?
Jeff?
You do? All right.
I wanted to mention this at the December 10th meeting, because we had so much going on that meeting. We did get our 1782 number from the LDS and our budget sources. Very early, I got it. It was the goal of the commissioners to get everybody's budget approved for the end of the year.
Good.
And the other thing is, I'll be for everyone to sign the executive session minutes.
Oh. Yes. Okay. Thank you. Anything else for the good of the court? Yes, Brian.
I was going to mention this earlier and I forgot. If any of you ever wonder during budget time if what we sometimes ask for is justified in equipment, we planned on doing the tally project over the course of the entire winter and felt like it would probably take us about a month and a half to get through every hour with the tire rate when we did 3.5. It took what used to be a guy in a backhoe, a guy in a dump truck, a guy sweeping the stuff off the street, and two or three other guys standing there with shovels, because that's what road workers are supposed to do. But all joking aside, it's a one-man operation now. So we did work on the alleys every day, and you know, it's been between us, and we're down to just a small handful of them.
Good. Anything else for the good of the order? I would entertain a motion to adjourn this.
Second.
Motion by Councilman Chambers and a second by Councilwoman Decker. Meeting is adjourned, and the Board of Public Works will be in 5 minutes. Don't forget, yes, to sign that executive order. Our executive meeting.